This evening, I know it takes a lot to get here on a Friday afternoon, and there are a lot of options you have on what you can do on Good Friday, but I'm glad that you came to be with us tonight. If you were here last Sunday, you heard our missionaries from Bulgaria speak, and I was, probably you like I were, enlightened to the fact that in much of the world, in fact most of the world, today is not known as Good Friday. It's known as, instead, a Heavy Friday, Sad Friday, and even Black Friday. Now, we in America, we like Black Friday, right? I mean, we do, because that is when we get the good deals, is Black Friday. That is when we get the real savings, is on Black Friday. And it is precisely because of Black Friday, Sad Friday, Heavy Friday, that we get the same opportunity, spiritually, to benefit from the very best savings. We get the very best deal on Good Friday, on Black Friday, and that is when we get the savings of a lifetime is made possible for us. But still, it's heavy. Justin and I were texting back and forth the other day, and he said, and he asked the same question. He said, why is it Good Friday if they crucified Jesus? And we could argue or debate or discuss all night long and into the morning whether, you know, why it is called Good Friday. Perhaps we want to put a little bit of a positive spin on the fact that Jesus was crucified on a cross. We like to lessen the blow. We really don't like to think so much about the seriousness of the cross, because it was sad. That an innocent man faced a cruel death on the cross. And there is no way for us in America to fully fathom, or anywhere else in the modern day world, there is no way for us to fully fathom what took place on that cross so long ago. Because you see, crucifixion was the cruelest form and most painful, most humiliating form of capital punishment in the ancient world. And Rome had perfected it. No one did it better. It wasn't just a Roman form of execution, but no one did it better in the ancient world than Rome. They had perfected the technique, if you will, to ensure maximum suffering through the crucifixion. In fact, the Roman orator Cicero said, the very word cross should be far removed, not only from the person of a Roman citizen, but from his thoughts, his eyes, and his ears. The mere mention of them, that is unworthy of a Roman citizen and of a free man. 2,000 years of church history, we have tried to sanitize the cross. But there is nothing sanitary at all about the cross. And yet on this day, with this crucifixion, it was quite an entertaining event. I mean, just listen to what is taking place. In Mark chapter 15, they crucified two criminals with him, one on his right and one on his left. So the scripture was fulfilled that says, and he was counted among outlaws. And those who passed by were yelling insults at him, shaking their heads and saying, ha! The one who would demolish the sanctuary and rebuild it in 3 days, save yourself by coming down from the cross. And in the same way, the chief priests with the scribes were mocking him to one another, saying, he saved others and he cannot save himself. let the Messiah, the King of Israel, come down from the cross so that we may see and believe. And even those who were crucified with him were taunting him. Now, if you can imagine the noise of the crowd that day must have been something, don't you think? But among the insults, the yelling, the criticisms, the mocking of this man they call Jesus, it is a statement from the religious leaders that really has me thinking to myself two things. First, it has me thinking that they, like so many, are so confused. And secondly, it has me thinking of that old saying, be careful of what you ask for. How so? How are they confused? Well, take a look at what they say. He saved others, but he cannot save himself. They're confused in what they're saying. Because can I just tell you that there is a huge difference between cannot save himself and would not save himself. They are worlds apart. The issue on the cross that day was not an issue of cannot. The issue on the cross that day was an issue of would not. You see, to say Jesus cannot save himself would make him just another man. To say he would not is to view him rightfully as all the world, as the Word became flesh and dwelt among us and we beheld his glory full of grace and truth. To say Jesus cannot save himself would make him a selfish individual seeking to merely save his own skin. But to say Jesus would not is to see him as the one who, existing in the form of God, did not consider equality with God as something to be used for his own advantage. Instead, he emptied himself, assuming the form of a slave, taking on the likeness of men. And when he had come as a man in his external form, Paul tells us, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even to death on a cross. To say that Jesus cannot save himself would make him a powerless person, would make him powerless to save himself, and therefore powerless to save us. But to say that Jesus would not is to remember that he said, or do you think that I cannot call on my Father and he will provide me here and now with more than 12 legions of angels? And that the Son of Man has come to seek and to save the lost? The Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. So he would not. And so, yes, there is a chasm of difference between saying Jesus cannot save himself and saying that Jesus would not save himself. If Jesus were to save others, himself he could not save. I want you to think about that. If Jesus was to save him, to save others, then himself he could not save. And then they go on to say, I love this. They said later on, Let him come down from the cross so that we may see and believe. They say they would believe if Jesus would but come down off the cross. But don't you understand that we believe precisely because he did not come down off that cross? That's why we believe. Because he stayed there. And the second thing that I think about as I hear the crowds and the religious leaders say, he saved others and he cannot save himself. Let the Messiah, wink, the King of Israel, ha, they say in jest, let him come down from the cross. Be careful what you ask for. Because these religious leaders foolishly, blindly say, let the Messiah, the King of Israel, come down from the cross. And I think, do they really understand what they are saying in this statement? I think they do not. Because you see, had Jesus come down from the cross would mean that he would escape the full force of God's wrath on sin. That would be good for Jesus. That would not be so good for us. It would not be so good for those men who made that very statement. Because he took that judgment, that wrath, that anger towards sin on himself. You see, people oftentimes say, I don't understand how a loving God could send anyone to hell. But that's the wrong thing to think. The more appropriate way to think is, I don't see how a loving God could let sinners into heaven. That's the real issue. How could a just God not send someone to hell, but allow us into heaven? It's because of the cross. That's why. Had Jesus come down off the cross, that would mean that all of humanity would have to bear the brunt of the judgment of God towards sin, and death would be on us. Are we prepared for that? I think not. Can we handle the weight of his wrath towards sin and death? The answer is no. Had Jesus come down off the cross, there is no hope for humanity. None. At all. You see, we must understand that God's wrath is deserved, it is dreadful, it is final, and it is eternal. Had Jesus come down from the cross, all that deserved and dreadful and final and eternal wrath falls on us. On you and on me. And so I don't want you to throw you for too much of a spiritual or theological loop, but the reality is this. We sang that song, Were You There? when they crucified my Lord. And we say, and there is merit in the saying, and there is truth in the saying, that when Jesus was on the cross, what's the old song? I was on his mind. And we thank God for that. We thank Jesus for the fact that when he hung on the cross, I was on his mind. But I want you to understand something very clearly that you may never have thought of before. Before we talk about us being on the Savior's mind when he was on the cross, first, we must realize that first and foremost, the Father was on the Savior's mind when he was on the cross. We really are secondary, because God's wrath had to be vindicated. Our salvation is a wonderful, blessed byproduct of God's wrath being vindicated by his Son hanging on the cross. Because the cross vindicates God's character before it rescues us. That's a heavy thought. The cross vindicates God's character before it rescues us. But it is precisely because God's character, his justice, his wrath is vindicated on the cross that he can and does save us from our sin. And we are so thankful. I'm reminded of the movie, A Few Good Men. How many of you ever seen that movie, A Few Good Men? Yeah, Jeremy's seen that movie. Yeah, hoorah. Yeah. And you remember when Jack Nicholson was on the witness stand and he said, "You want me on that wall. You need me on that wall." Listen, we want Jesus on that cross. We need Jesus on that cross. Because there is no other way to shield us from the full brunt of God's judgment but by the cross. You see, he endured the wrath of the Father so that we might experience the love of the Father. And there is no other way. The Bible says in Mark chapter 15, verse 37, Jesus let out a loud cry and breathed his last. Can you hear it? But don't worry. The cross is not the end of the story. Praise God. It is just our beginning of our life as we were meant to live. The resurrection is coming. And so I want to encourage you to come and join us Sunday morning at Rainbow Park at 7 a.m. if you're able to. And then right here at Northside at 10:30 a.m. as we celebrate the hope of the resurrection.